If you take your Bibles tonight and turn to Proverbs chapter 7, that's where we end up in our Proverbs 7 series tonight. Wrestled a lot through this passage over the last several weeks, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to your heart tonight. We'll be kind of focused on the whole chapter and just talking tonight about spiritual wisdom. The major theme that we see in the book of Proverbs is wisdom. In fact, the words wise or wisdom are used at least 125 times in the whole book. The aim of the book of Proverbs is to help us acquire and apply God's wisdom to decisions and activities in our daily lives. And I just want you to think about that for a moment. The practicality of God's Word in our everyday living. Many of us know the Word of God, but how many of us apply the Word of God? That's where wisdom comes in. We often need to be called on a continual basis to God's way of thinking and living. You may say, well, why is that? It's because we're sinful. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 reminds us that we are to trust the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, and He will direct your paths. See, if we don't continually renew our thinking, spend time in God's Word, we will have a tendency to live life and drift out on our own, self-sufficiently without God. And that's a problem. When talking about wisdom, what do we need to understand? Well, when talking about spiritual wisdom or biblical wisdom, it begins with a right relationship with the Lord. It means that you are able to look at the world through the grid of God's truth and make right choices that please God. So you get into the Word, you read what it has to say, and you have the ability to take the truth of God's Word and to actually apply it to your life. And it helps in the decisions that we make each and every day. And in order for us to make right decisions, we need to start seeing the world through the Word. I mean, God's Word was given to us for a very specific reason. Number one, to know God. But number two, also to know how to live, to please God. So how many of us actually use it for that purpose? It's very practical. It was given to help us. Wisdom is very important in the grand scheme of life. Not just biblical wisdom, but just wisdom in general. Wisdom tells you when a thunderstorm is taking place not to go outside and to hold a big metal pole on your roof. Wisdom tells you not to jump out of an airplane, even with a parachute. Wisdom tells you not to drive down a one-way street the wrong direction. And we sit here, and those are obvious examples of some pretty dangerous things. And we may laugh about those things, but they're obvious. There are obvious dangers that come with doing things that aren't wise. So here's my question for you tonight. Why, when it comes to biblical wisdom and its warnings from sin, is it not so obvious? I mean, none of us would go outside in a thunderstorm and raise a metal pole up to try to get struck by lightning. That is just not wise. But when it comes to biblical truth and its warnings specifically to guard ourselves from specific sin, is it not so obvious? You may say, well, Pastor Steve, what do you mean? Well, we're going to take a look at our passage tonight at one specific area of life. This passage has to deal specifically with temptation and the dangers of sexual sin. We would all agree that we are to stay away from immorality and adultery. But do we really take the warnings from Scripture, the wisdom that is given, seriously? Do we really consider the dangers? Wisdom says stay away. Wisdom says guard yourself. So why do many of us live as though it will not affect us? Let's look down at Proverbs chapter 7. We'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words." Now Solomon begins this proverb, as he did so many, reminding his children, or his son in this case, the importance of not only knowing God's word, but being able to apply the wisdom of God's word in the everyday, daily decisions of life. In fact, if you turn back to Proverbs chapter 2, he has a similar introduction. In Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 5, he says this, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice up for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." There are incredible similarities here in these two passages. If you go back to Proverbs 7 and you look at verse 1, he says, "Keep my words, treasure my commands within you." What Solomon is trying to communicate here is that he has actually taken the law of God and made it personal by actual faith and obedience in his life. You know, how many of us just look at this book as a book? And after Sunday's over, we go home and it sits on our shelf and it sits on our table, or we don't even know where we put it. Solomon looks at his son and he writes these words and he says, "Treasure my commands," which are obviously coming from the Lord. He understood the value of the information and the truth that he was writing. It made a difference in his life. He used it. It was valuable to him. So tonight, first off, let's look at the value of wisdom. Using wisdom begins when one values it above all else. We all have things that are valuable to us. Some may be of great worth. Some may be things that have been given to you by your children that have absolutely no value, except that out of love, they give it to you. All of us have things that we value. We hold them dear. They are of great worth to us. That is the exact description that Solomon is giving here to the Word of God. We should be able to hold its truth with great value. It should have great worth in our lives. Can I just say tonight, if God means something to you, then his word should mean something to you. It should be making a difference in your life. In verse 2, he says, "My law is the apple of your eye." This expression refers to the pupil of your eye, which is the source of sight, and how in God's creation, he has allowed it to be very protected because of its value to vision. I mean, understand this illustration that Solomon is giving. He's saying that the Word of God, when you apply it to your life, is there to protect you and to give you spiritual and moral sight. That's what verse 2 means. And you know what I take away from that? That he has given me his word to be used in my life every single day. It's there to help me. And he's given it to us. It echoes Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." His word is there to guide and direct. It's full of wisdom. So when we get to Proverbs 7, in this case, wisdom is going to protect us and prepare us from making wrong choices in the area of temptation and sexual sin. So that's how we're going to view this tonight. God's word is written for our understanding and for our learning to be able to be used in life. And when you get to Proverbs 7, it becomes very applicable when you're dealing with an immoral woman or a seductress. Now, sometimes we have the mentality when we talk about sex in our culture or sexuality that the answer for us as parents is to simply shelter our kids. Because if we shelter them from everything, that will eventually make them holy. Or it's guarding them. But can I just say to you tonight that the only way that your kids will become godly kids is not by just pulling them out from everything, but it's through godly instruction through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's work in their heart. We have seen so many cases of people thinking the answer is just to pull them away from everything. So by the time they're 18, 19 years old and they're out on their own, they haven't seen anything or been taught or instructed in any way when it comes to sex or sexuality, that they don't have a clue. And they do more harm in their life. And we have been given God's word in this area with instruction and wisdom to be able to help us in the decisions that we make. We're going to be very transparent tonight. Hope that's okay. But we live in a dangerous world. And we should not pull any punches as we prepare our children for the temptations that they are about to face. One of the biggest and deadliest temptations that we all face that they need to be aware of are the wiles of the seductress. And what makes it difficult and the problem is that she comes in many forms. It may be in the form of a person. It may be in the form of a photograph. It may be in the form of media. It may be in the form of our own selfish desires and our own imagination. But she comes in a variety of forms. And because of this, we need specific instruction on what to do when exposed or tempted in this area. You know, it's unfortunate, but we live in times where parents have done a great job of giving this responsibility of talking about sex or sexuality to the public schools, to the entertainment industry, to their peers. And it's led to the destruction of our very own children. Because this world promotes sinful folly. Our young people aren't to be left alone to follow their own feelings in this area. We need parental oversight and biblical direction. Naive children are vulnerable children. How are we using the Word of God to help prepare them for the trials and temptations in life? And can I just say tonight, this doesn't just have to do with young people. Because we see in 2 Samuel 11 that David didn't really do well in this area in his life either. So what will we learn tonight from Proverbs 7 that will help all of us in this area of wisdom that can help us when faced with temptation and sexual sin? Well, let's continue reading in verse 6. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house, and in the twilight and in the evening, and in the black and dark night, and there a woman met him, with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and she kissed him. And with the impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of the Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on an appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, and as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to my words from my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her path, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. That is a powerful portion of Scripture. Let's try to unfold it a little bit so that we understand what Solomon is really saying. We see the value of wisdom, but in verses 6 through 27, we're going to see Solomon's warning. You see, Solomon was a king, and any king would stand up and he would inspect his people. He would watch his people. He would listen to his people. A good king would do that to know how he could make his kingdom better. But as he is writing Proverbs 7, he is not writing as a king. He is writing as a watchman. Do you know what a watchman would do? A watchman would stand out on the walls of the city and they would just watch for enemies approaching. If they would see danger in a certain area, they would know where to double their guard. And Proverbs 7 is written from that perspective, as Solomon is a watchman and he's seen firsthand the destruction of lives through the seductress woman. And he is writing as a warning to you and to me so that we know where to double our guard in this area so we do not falter. So that's the perspective of how Solomon is writing this letter. In fact, when you read verse 6 through verse 27, it's almost like you're watching a National Geographic video of a lion. Lions stalk their prey. They take their time. It's very calculated. And then before you know it, boom, that little goat thing doesn't have a chance. And he's watching from this window. And he's watching this poor little guy. And before he knew it, boom. It's powerful. So what is Solomon's warning to us tonight? Well, the first thing that we see is don't be naive. Don't be naive. When you look at verse 7, how is this man described? He said, I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. This term devoid of understanding means naive. It means without aim or direction. They have no purpose in life. They're just kind of existing. And when you live that way, you become vulnerable to many temptations. But what we notice in this passage is this young guy has no clue where he's going, but this woman knows exactly where she wants him. What else do we know about this man? We know that he's not a hardened sinner. He's just naive. He doesn't fully understand what's about to happen to him, probably because he didn't heed the warnings of wisdom. He's probably curious. Perhaps he's thinking to himself, I'm strong enough to resist. Maybe he just assumes that he will be anonymous because it's in the nighttime and nobody will see him. I don't know what's going through his mind, but you know what I do know? We have those thoughts. I mean, don't we become curious? Aren't there times where you actually say to yourself, I don't need strongholds or safeguards in my life because that won't affect me. I'm strong enough to resist. Or we're in the privacy of our own homes, or we're just in areas maybe we shouldn't be, and we're kind of looking around because we don't think anybody else knows. We've been there. So don't be naive. The second thing we see about this man is that he didn't understand that there are dangers. You know what we need to understand? That this world is full of danger. Society today not only smiles at sexual sin, it actually approves it and encourages it. Perversions that would have shocked people 50 years ago are now openly discussed today. In fact, they're the subjects of books and movies and TV dramas. And Solomon's warning is don't be naive and understand that there are dangers. But as we continue to read through this passage, we also see wisdom's advice. If we ever find ourselves in a situation like this, or what can we do to guard ourselves from being in this position? We see wisdom's advice. First thing is found in verses 3 to 5. Make wisdom your first love. Look at verse 3. He says, bind them on the fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. That word bind in verse 3, care is the idea of giving truth a permanent place in your mind and in your conduct. I mean, wisdom needs to have a place in your life. This is not something that we can just obtain once a week as a hobby. It needs to be a daily discipline. It's unfortunate, but we live in a culture and we live in a world where we want everything now. I mean, if you haven't noticed, I mean, fast food places don't have one drive-thru, they have two. I mean, was a minute too long to wait for your food? You don't even have to go to the bank anymore. You can just do it from your phone. Pretty soon, we won't have to leave our chair to even live life. We can do everything from our seat. That's the culture and the world we live in. We want everything now. But you know, there's always a price to pay. And unfortunately, the price that is being paid is we find ourselves consumed with the things of this world and no time for God. We are so busy running around and we have no attention span. We don't spend any time with God. And the problem with that is if wisdom is found in His Word, if you're not spending any time in this book, how are you going to make wise decisions? And that's an issue. In fact, 1 John verse 2, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 says, "For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see. And pride in our achievements and possessions, these are not from the Father, but are from this world. But this world is passing away." We spend so much of our lives focusing on things that are fading away, we don't have 30 minutes for spiritual wisdom that can affect our lives for eternity. Solomon challenges us to be in the Word. Why do people turn to pornography? Why do people turn to another man or another woman when they are married? It's because they are seeking satisfaction in something other than God. And what we know from Scripture, especially from the author of some Proverbs, he writes another book and reminds us that he's tried everything. It's not found in money. It's not found in women. It's not found in stuff. Everything is vanity except your relationship with God. And it's valuable. So number one, make wisdom your first love. Number two, wisdom will deliver you from immorality. Look at verse 8, verse 7 and 8. It said, I perceived a young man devoid of understanding passing along the street near her corner. And he looked to the path to her house, or he took the path to her house. I mean, I read this and I'm like, what are you doing? This guy should have been nowhere near this area of town. Everybody knew where these kind of women would be. They knew what these women looked like. They knew not to be out after a certain time of night. And this man is hanging out where this woman lives. He was not putting himself in a position to be successful. And wisdom says, stay away from the wrong places. Don't go near them. So what do I take from this? I can easily get upset at this guy, but yet I know weaknesses in my life. What safeguards have I put in my life to protect me? I can look at this guy and say, what are you doing in that city at that time where that woman lives? But what have we done with what the scripture says about guarding our own hearts? With the things that are out there on the internet? What protection do you have on your computer? With the channels and the things you can get on TV anymore? What safeguards have you given yourself to protect? Oh, Pastor Steve, it won't affect me. I can handle it. Yeah. And this is a problem. Wisdom says, guard your heart. Number three, wisdom helps you see the true nature of the seductress. This is found in verses 10 through verse 18. Now notice how she is described. And I mean, because this guy's naive, there was no red flags going. But notice how the word depicts this woman. In verse 10, it describes her in her true character. She is cunning and deceitful. In verse 11, in the beginning, it says she is loud and rebellious. In verse 13, her approach is bold. Verse 14 stands out to me. She is a religious hypocrite. Look at the words in verse 14. I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. She kind of knows this, what this guy is probably looking for, and she's claiming to be some kind of religious woman who is either going or coming from the temple to give an offering. So she's appearing to be spiritual. I'm like, man, not even that happens today. Look at verse 16 to 18. She invites him over to her place. So she uses spiritual talk in verse 14. And what's the next thing out of her mouth? Hey, come over. My husband's not home. Verse 19 through 20. She is cunning and answers his every objection. Can I just say this? That the pleasure of sin only lasts for a moment. But when you look at how it's described what happens to this young man, look at verse 22. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter. I used to work at a meatpacking plant. I used to see pigs and cows and all these things and how all that's handled. Can I just tell you, they didn't have a clue what was coming. They're kind of lined up and they walk through these gates. They go up this fun little escalator thing. They're like, man, it's like a ride. This is great. And before they know it, they have volts of electricity right on their head, right between their eyes, and boom, they're toast. That's exactly what happens to this young guy right here. Like an ox goes to the slaughter. It's described more as a fool, the correction of his stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost him his life. And you know what? When the temptation of sin is there, You never think about the consequences. You think about fulfilling the pleasure and the desires of your heart at that moment. But you know what the book of Proverbs wants you to do? Look into the future and see what decisions will cost you and the consequences of those choices. Live with wisdom. Number four, wisdom shows you why sexual immorality is wrong. The first reason is found in Psalm 51, James 4, and Genesis 39. Sexual immorality is first and foremost a sin against God. Scripture tells us very clearly that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if we love God, we will keep His commands. So to be able to commit sexual immorality is not obeying the commands of God. It's really fulfilling the desires of your flesh. Not only do we communicate our love for ourselves more than God, but we violate the second greatest commandment and not loving our neighbor. Wisdom shows you why sexual immorality is wrong because it reveals a lack of love for God and a lack of love for your neighbor. Number five, wisdom reminds you of the deadly consequences of immorality. Look at verse 25. It says, "Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending into the chambers of death." You know, that which seems to begin with sweet and pleasure has a bitter end. And in contrast to worldly entertainment, which focuses upon the immediate sensual pleasures of sexual immorality, Proverbs extensively portrays the life-destroying results of sin. I can remember hearing a testimony of a pastor who is no longer in ministry because he committed adultery. And he was talking with another pastor because he was still bitter and angry at God after the choices that he obviously made. And he looked at this other pastor who was counseling him and he said, "As I was driving on my way to be with this other woman, I am quoting Scripture. I'm quoting Scripture, and the whole time in my mind, I'm thinking, why isn't anything happening?" He said, "I was quoting the verses that I knew. I was meditating on the Word of God, and I was just saying these Scriptures as I'm driving to go be with this woman." And you know what the counselor told him? He said, "You may have been saying Scripture, but the thing you needed to do was just turn the car around." And it's a great illustration of how many of us live our lives. Like something magical will happen to take us out of a situation if we're not being wise in how we got there in the first place. And here's the point. The point is to take action. Take responsibility to what you allow your eyes to gaze upon. Take responsibility for what you allow your ears to hear. Take responsibility to what you're exposing yourself to in the things of this world, because it will cost you. I heard it said that those who fall into immorality usually don't fall far. And you know what our problem is? We love the things of this world. We grow accustomed and cavalier to the things of this world, that we don't begin to see the dangers of the things of this world. And before you know it, you're done. I can remember a science experiment where, and some of you kids might want to try this, but you have a spider in a cage and you throw a grasshopper in there. This grasshopper is going crazy because it sees the danger. But what does the spider do? It just sits there. Then the grasshopper gets a little bit closer and then it goes crazy. And before you know it, you leave that grasshopper in there long enough, the spider won't move, but the grasshopper continually gets more comfortable, more comfortable, more comfortable. And when it gets close enough to that spider, you watch that spider pounce on that grasshopper. Describes a lot of the way we Christians live our lives. And Solomon writes here in a very forward way as a warning to you to see the dangers that are around you and how God has given you his word to be a help and a guidance to you, not only to know how to avoid certain things, but also how to handle it when you find yourself in a situation. Number six, wisdom trains you to stay far away from sexual temptation. Verse 3. He says, keep my commands in verse 2 and live, and my law is an apple to your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Guard your heart. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 remind us that when we allow lust into our heart, it gives birth to sin. So what does all this have to do with me? Well, let me ask you this tonight. How does spiritual wisdom impact your life? I know you know what the Bible says, but how does it shape your life? Proverbs 7 goes to great lengths to warn you. In this one area, this is one very specific area. But what are you going to do with it? If we love God, then we will love his word. If we love his word, then we would do anything to obey his word. And just at a very practical level tonight with application, the wisdom of God's word and how it can help us make right choices is found in a passage like Proverbs 7. He teaches you the value of wisdom and how it can be used to warn you and to guard you and to protect you. We'll close with this. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 2, because I think it sums it up very well, starting in verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and the knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the evil way, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman. We'll stop there. But you know what the value of wisdom is tonight? Is that it protects you. It guards you. It gives you discernment, and it delivers you from all those things described. So if God has given us his word to help us in our lives, the question is, will you use it? Father, thank you for just your word tonight and the power in that it contains to transform our lives. Lord, there's so much in there. But I think the greatest truth of all is that you've given us your word to help us. We need to make time for it, to spend time in it. We need it to allow it to shape our thinking and mold our lives. Father, wisdom comes from you. It comes from above, and we need it. for protection, for discernment, for understanding, for deliverance, so that you can use us in a great way to reach this world with a gospel. So we ask that you would help us tonight if there's anyone here that has things in their life that need to be changed. Maybe they need to start spending more time with you. Maybe you revealed some things in their own personal life and how they don't have any safeguards of protection practically in their life, guarding their eyes or guarding their ears. That you would bring them to a point of action. Father, I pray that you would use your word in Jesus' name. Amen.